Last Tuesday and Wednesday, I went backpacking in Olympic National Park. I went from the Ho River up about 30 switchbacks up along the ridge, and then about another 30 switchbacks down to the Bogachiel River. When I got there, I was exhausted and very tired. I had to cross a creek at the last little bit there, and I was so tired that I slipped on the rocks, and I fell, and I drenched my entire right side. I finally made my camp alongside the Bogachiel River. Just a beautiful place, total solitude. I was the only one there. Woke up in the middle of the night, and the sky was just ablaze with stars. And I could see on the just above the ridge to the north, the Big Dipper constellation and Cassiopeia. And it reminded me of how, when I was a kid, my dad pointed those constellations out to my brothers and sisters and me. Next day, I got up and I retraced those 30 switchbacks up to the ridge, and then 30 switchbacks back down to my car and came home. Sometimes people ask me, why do you hike by yourself? They point out that it's not that safe, and having some companionship would be a good idea. But I tell them that I go by myself because I like to get away from it all. When I go by myself, there's no phone calls, no emails, no texts, no appointments, and there's nobody I have to take care of. It's just me. And there's something about being out there in solitude. I like to be near to the wild heart of life. That phrase comes from a portrait of the artist as a young man by James Joyce, where he writes, "He was alone, he was unheeded, happy, and near to the wild heart of life." To me, the wild heart of life is when everything unnecessary is taken away and there's nothing left but your real self. Well, in our Old Testament story today, Jacob is near to the wild heart of life. Jacob is in trouble. He has lied to his father. He has cheated his brother. He has stolen his brother's birthright and his inheritance. And Esau, his brother, is angry enough to kill him. And his mother says, "You've got to run away. You've got to get out of here before Esau does kill you." And his father sends him away to to Jacob's uncle Laban, which is far off in Haran. Haran is about 400 miles away, so this is a long journey for a young man to start off with by himself. His mother gives him a little oil and a little flour to take with him, but he's on his own. He gets up early in the morning and he flees, and he runs all day to get as far away from Esau as he can. And when night comes, he's exhausted. He throws himself down on the ground and he uses a stone as a pillow. And that night he dreams. He has a dream that there's a ladder set up on earth and it reaches all the way up to heaven. And the angels of God are ascending and descending on this ladder. And in his dream, God speaks to him and says, "I am the God of your father Isaac and the God of your grandfather Abraham, and I will be with you in this journey, and I will keep you and protect you in this journey, and I will bring you back to this place, and I will give you the land that you're sleeping on now." Well, dreams come when we're asleep, when we're vulnerable, when we're open. Our defenses are down when we're dreaming. And I think Jacob is especially vulnerable on this night. He's scared, he's frightened, he's alone, he's in the wilderness, he's running for his life, he's in unfamiliar territory, he doesn't know what else is out there. He's in between home and safety, he's exhausted, and he may be feeling a little guilty about what he's done. So he's especially open to this dream. Jacob is no paradigm of virtue. Jacob is no angel. He, in many ways, is a scoundrel and a rascal. He's always been in conflict with others. He's always scheming and planning and plotting to get some advantage for himself. So it's not like he's the best human being in the world that God has spoken to. But despite all that, God has chosen him and God speaks to him. And when Jacob has this dream, it changes him. And when he wakes up, he says, "Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is the house of God, the gate of heaven." He is near to the wild heart of life. I believe that the times we experience God best and most often are when we are near to the wild heart of life, when we're in that place where we are vulnerable, and when there's nothing between us and our real self. You know, any woman who has experienced childbirth knows that it takes you to the edge of your endurance, to the edge of pain, and it pushes you near to the wild heart of life. Anyone who has been through a divorce knows how it breaks you down and it destroys you and it makes you find some way to rebuild yourself, and it brings you to the near to the wild heart of life. If you have been in an extreme experience where you have experienced a failure of your career or bankruptcy or a terminal diagnosis, or if you have been near a deathbed, then you have been brought near to the wild heart of life. And it's those times when we are likely to experience the presence of God. Well, in the morning when Jacob wakes up, he takes a stone that has been his pillow and he sets it up as a pillar and he pours oil on it. And he says, "If God will keep me and be with me and bring me back to this place, then he will be the Lord my God. And this pillar will be God's house, and I will give 1/10 of all I have to God." Well, I think that Jesus was always near to the wild heart of life, and he called his followers to, as much as possible, come near to the wild heart of life. I think that's what he means when he says, "Repent and turn to God and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yesterday I visited our new property. There's construction stakes out there now. And as I stood there, I thought, how awesome is this place? So beautiful. There's shadows from the trees were coming across the pasture, and I could smell the fresh cut grass. That openness of pasture there reminds me of the farm that used to be there and the old trees that are still standing from the farmhouse. It's a lovely place. And I think that in many ways that reminds us of that place where Jacob slept that night. And it's there that we're going to raise our pillar and give our tithes and worship God. And we will remember that God is always with us and God will keep us. And God at the end will bring us home. Amen.